Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Outlander Season 2, Episodes 5, Untimely Resurrection, Episode 6, Best Laid Schemes, Episode 7, Faith, and Episode 8, The Fox's Lair.
All that and more.
No,
not actually more. So we have our usual disclaimers, caveats, perhaps because we're still in Paris, which include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers for this show. We are in season 2 of Outlander, and you should have at least gotten this far with us, so come on. And we are having something to drink. What are we having to drink, Natalie?
We're having sparkling duchesses, mm-hmm. which is essentially Prosecco, ginger ale, and Saint-Germain elderflower liqueur.
We have been trying to make sure that we actually do something with Saint-Germain, because there is a Comte de Saint-Germain who has been in this Paris sequence, and we figured we needed to honor or
commemorate?
Maybe memorialize. So yeah, so there are all kinds of surprises going on today. We are going to get started with Season 2, Episode 5, Untimely Resurrection.
Well, we can beat her. We can stop beating around the bush here. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah, we do.
Well, not only because we watched the episode, but because there has been lead up. And I have to say, well, just to go ahead and rip off that Band-Aid, Blackjack Randall is in Paris.
He's not dead. We knew that.
He's not. But I also would like to say this reveal would have had so much more impact if we hadn't been told he was alive.
True.
Like, if we hadn't had that whole, like, I know that it's, like, stirred some drama, but it didn't stir that much. It didn't stir enough to make me, like, oh, okay, well, that was a worthwhile contribution to the story right now. Because it was seen as, like, a far-off thing of, like, I'll get to him eventually.
Yeah, he's somewhere in England.
It had more urgency to it of, like, he's here right now, alive in front of me. And so I think that has more impact.
Yes, exactly.
Rather than the Duke of Sandringham just being like, well, he's alive! It's like, okay, good. It has less impact for me.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's that soft reveal kind of thing that you're kind of like, yeah, is the action happening off stage? You know, are we just missing the good stuff?
And I will say, I had it as the best part for that episode, because the episode was so boring before then. And so I will say it did add a little bit of intrigue. However, the fallout of it wasn't as explosive as the fallout of him actually showing up.
And he shows up in this episode! Yay!
Yay.
I mean, obviously super fucking creepy, but there are some yays in here, so
there are some other things that happened. Let's start from...
Yeah, we don't need to start from the beginning necessarily, but when we left off, Jamie had been arrested because there had been some sort of fight in his home.
Well, not just Jamie. Myrta and Alex were also in prison.
Right.
In the Bastille.
And part of it was, like, Alex was arrested for the possible rape of Mary, which we know didn't happen. Mm. So Jamie and Myrta got released, and Alex is still being held.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot more to say about that.
Okay, well, there is, considering the fact that Claire is like, okay, well, Mary will have to testify that it wasn't him who raped her. She'll do that because she loves Alex. And so let's just talk to Mary. And so she does. And Mary's like, yay, I'm so excited. We're going to get married. It's going to be great. Yeah, and now I'm out of this engagement to this old guy.
Yeah, it's not like she deliberately did this, but it does
work
out.
But it worked out in her favor, didn't it?
Right, but Claire has all this weird drama about, oh, wow, if she marries Alex Randall, then there won't be any Frank. And if there's no Frank, I can't allow that, blah, blah, blah. So she does stupid shit.
This woman.
I mean, we're going to get into the stupid shit later, but in this episode, that's...
Let's get to it now. Because what she does is, like, Mary Hawkins gives her the letter to give to Alex, and then she contemplates burning it, and presumably burns
Claire
it because she doesn't give it to him later.
No. She releases it. She gets him released, so she has to have used it.
Oh, sure. I forgot that was what the letter was for.
Yeah, Claire gets Alex released, but then she tells Alex, hey, you don't really have a lot to offer this girl. I know you
Also,
guys
you're
are.
coughing, which means you're gonna die.
Yeah, so you need to like let her marry somebody
One
else.
thing I've got to say, and I
The whole time I was
absolutely,
going fuck off Claire, by the way.
literally, it's like fuck off Rupert, but Claire. And I just gotta say that one of my favorite just short like TV or movie shorthands for you're about to die is coughing fits. And I think that's so funny that he just has this violent coughing fit, and she's like, "You're not long for this world. Do you want her to play nurse?" It's like, "Whoa, Claire, this is not Anthony Strallen in Downton Abbey season like two, three, or th and three." But
Where he's still coughing. I'm sorry.
and standing someone up at the altar. Well, no, jilting fully,
Yeah,
not
full on
standing or
jilting.
even standing her up.
No, he shows up and says no.
That's even worse, if I'm being
It's
honest.
significantly
If we
worse.
were covering the Downton Abbey seasons again, but like in this format, I would have so much shit to say. Anyway, that's not
We had
important
a
because
lot
it's
of
not
shit to say at the
happening.
time, as I recall.
I need to re-listen to those episodes.
Anyway.
Either way,
Next.
but yeah, she pulls the. She's gonna be your nurse, and where are you gonna go? You're not. He got fired by the Duke of Sandringham because the Duke of Sandringham sucks and wanted his hands washed clean, and so she's just like, "Oh yeah, well I guess you're right." The poor guy's already.
Nope.
Literally, this guy has been through hell and back,
Yeah, no,
like in the
seriously.
past, like I guess probably week or something,
It's
and. He's
achievable.
lost his job. The only thing going for him right now is this love he has for Mary Hawkins, of all people. And not anything against, well, some stuff against Mary. She's kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has only that going for him. And then Claire's like, it's not enough. It's like,
You are
what?
not enough. Bad. It's bad. So the whole, we all say fuck off Claire, but we don't see Alex again for the rest of the episode.
There's this
It's not.
convoluted plot with like this with Saint-Germain, Prince Charles, and Jamie,
Yeah, they're gonna
where
do some deal.
so from what I've gleaned off of this is that the Prince Charles has loaned and gotten a loan and loaned half of this money. So like it's like ha maybe like 5,000 pounds or something. He's gotten a loan from a bank or something. And he has used it to buy wine, Madeira, for Saint-Germain to deliver and distribute. And then he will double the profits or whatever. And then that will help fund the war, essentially, is what I've gotten from that. Because
Yeah, it's
they
a
Zeus
speculation.
through it. And
Yeah,
I was like, oh, I do not understand the plan.
well, right, they zoom through it in part because it's not well explained in the book either. It's this very convoluted
Like literally,
distribution
if you
wine
have the loan
thing.
ability to get a loan, then like get the loan and
Yeah.
then invest it somewhere else.
Yeah,
Like
that's
I
what this is the investment plan he has, and he wants to make Jamie and Saint-Germain work together, which is idiotic.
and also consider it's a conflict of interest for Jamie, considering he's running a wine merchant see. Like why would he help somebody else like sell wine when he could?
I think they're getting a cut. I think they're getting a
Probably.
cut. But
They never
anyways,
really talked about that, did they?
whatever. So the bottom line is that they decide that what they're going to do, this is Claire's idea, is make it look like once again there's smallpox on Saint-Germain's ship, and that everything gets torched or whatever. But Jamie and Jamie's able to get like the wine away and sell it somewhere else.
Well, I mean that's something that happens in the next episode, yes. But what happens in this episode is far more dull, and it's just talking about it. And so we don't even get to that part yet,
Lot of
unfortunately for
stupid
us.
going on in this episode. I'm sorry.
But essentially, what is going on is that like there are some cute parts with Jamie and Claire of like them expecting the baby because she's basically like what. 7, 8 months pregnant at this point.
Baby's kicking.
Baby's kicking. And her belly has grown. And so she has this baby bump and all that stuff. And he gives her an early christening present because
the apostle spoons, which apparently are family heirloom.
I would also like to say, like, an early christening present is crazy because I'm just like, why can't you just wait?
Yeah.
I know it's for stuff later on about what happens later on, but why can't you wait 2 months?
Well, right, and like, he has to get Jenny to send it. It's it's
inconvenient for your sister who had to send these fucking spoons.
And who, like, we later find out was having, like, her own kid.
Yeah, we find out that Jenny had another child. Like,
that's mad.
She's very happy for him and Claire, because Claire did explain the whole infertility scare stuff, so she was very happy for that, but at the same time, it's like, this is really inconvenient. And anyway, whatever, it's for maximum, like, bullshit later.
Yes.
Anyway, so they're at Versailles and doing some stupid shit with Duke of Sandringham getting the team of horses.
Yeah, and so Jamie's there to look at the team of horses. Claire's with him because Claire and his ex, the whore girl, comes up to Claire and is like, you have corrupted, name. Yeah, you've corrupted Jamie. He was just a boy. You've made him a man, and that's complicated.
Why is
bad.
That?
It's
I'm sorry, but
I'm like, it's bad.
No,
that's
the weird thing, because this conversation's so fucking weird. Like, she's just like, he's become a businessman. It's almost like he's matured. I can't believe you made him mature. It's like, what?
Yeah,
what
I
are you
like
talking
it
about? He's a full-grown adult man.
Well, and you know, when I knew him, he was impulsive.
You mean when he was like 10?
Yeah. and Claire's like, he's still impulsive.
Has all the elements that make
and
him Jamie.
To prove that, what happens is, while Claire is walking with this woman, Black Jack Randall appears in the garden. Oh my God, in full regalia, by the way, in his full uniform, because he says he's there to beg for a pardon or whatever for his brother Alex.
No, well, essentially just to get, well, Alex is already out at this point. He's begging Duke of Sandringham for his job back.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But he mentions this to the king.
Right. No, I think there's something about, like, a full, like, exoneration or something from
that would make Duke of Sandringham take him back.
Yes.
Essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But the king shows up and he's all flirty with Claire because that's a delight. And then he's like, maybe you should beg on your knees.
He's telling Blackjack Randall to beg on his knees. It is so fucking funny.
That was so funny.
And then, like, the whole court, like, laughs because he's begging on his knees.
And it's like, you are so literal.
You bitches are so literal.
So funny.
And he looks really stupid. And then Jamie comes up and, like, ha, I must challenge you to a duel.
Right. Not in front of the king, obviously, but like in private. And then he's walking with Claire. It's like, I challenged him to a duel. I'm so excited. It's like, you realize dueling's illegal in France, right? And he's like, don't worry, I've got this.
To go.
It's almost like he forgets, like, how duels work and is like, okay, well, one of us is going to murder the other.
This is not a crime. Let's go to New Jersey, Hamilton shit.
Literally, I was thinking of the Ten Commandments the whole time.
Exactly.
And you know what? Thank you, Hamilton, for telling me how duels work, because I wouldn't have known anything about seconds or like any of the plausible deniability.
Really?
It was either that.
Bridgerton too.
Yeah, but I feel like Hamilton was before that. Bridgerton. So I knew that before. And then Bridgerton was like,
before.
I know it.
So. Yeah, I mean, I knew about a lot of that stuff before just because, I don't know, I like things like duels. Anyway, so I can't explain, like, all of the weird minutia that's in my head.
And you know what? Neither can I. So fair enough. I will let you have this one.
Thanks.
This one.
I will
let you have brain cell to duel.
We'll let you have duels.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to have a second, and who gets to pick. And the rules are different depending on where you are. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But Murtaugh is, of course,
his second,
and Murtaugh's got, like, oh, we need to practice this, do you think it's gonna be sabers, or swords?
And Jamie's immediately like, it's definitely going to be sabers, because he wants to be up close and personal.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, you know him real well.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, you do, intimately, biblically.
Claire goes to the Bastille and tells everyone, hey, Blackjack Randall was the one who raped me and Mary, by the way, and
this
which
is
untrue, but, you know, we hate him anyway, so who fucking cares if he spends some time in jail.
So she goes back to have a fight with Jamie about whether Jamie should have this duel, and her rationale is, hey, you need to look out for me and the baby, and oh, by the way, I also need to look out for Frank.
And that pisses Jamie off for good reason, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And he says this line of, must I bear everyone's weakness and not handle my own? And I think that's very fair because she is asking him to give up something that means a lot to him.
Yeah.
And would give him a lot, according to him, a lot of closure and peace of mind. And I mean, I think that's only fair. I don't think that violence is ever the answer. However, in his mind it is, and he's set on it. And so you're essentially taking something really major away from him without like really good cause in his eyes. Because
it's because you want me love to, Frank.
Yeah, you want it gives him this idea of non-permanence. Because if you really care about Frank that much, then like, are you just going to go back to him at some point? Or are you?
Yeah, because he points out, like, you chose me. You were given a free. I did not make any demands on you, and you chose me.
And I don't...
So you're here. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And I think her best argument, and this is the thing that she doesn't say and really should have.
Yeah.
Her best argument was, if Frank doesn't exist, I don't marry Frank. I don't go to Inverness. I don't go through the stones, and I never meet you. If I don't meet you, we have nothing. We don't have this. And this is too important to pass up. That's what she should have said. She's fucking dumb. And she's been fucking dumb throughout this episode. And I want to slap the shit out of her.
Another element to Claire's stupidness in this entire episode is her having this whole thing with Mary and being like, I'm going to save you for the raping brother. It's like, what? You mean the one who didn't, you're going to make her pass up. Or make this one pass her up, who didn't rape her, most vehemently was against that and wanted to like keep her safe and love her. Mm-hmm. And you're going to give her to the one who rapes people and tortures women while he rapes them?
Yeah, because it doesn't even like women. And men. That. Yeah.
But maybe we have to give him the benefit of the doubt. He might be bi.
That's true. But I mean, you get the impression that he prefers men.
Oh, for sure. But I think there's still an element of sadistic pleasure that he gets from harming women.
Torture, period. Yeah, he likes sexual torture, basically.
Either way, so Claire essentially wants him to postpone his revenge for a year. And
he's like, fine, but don't touch me.
Yeah.
No touching!
Yeah,
I kind of agree.
I get that, but at the same time, I think that yes, there is. Okay.
He's just so angry he doesn't want to talk.
No, I totally get that. I totally get that. But I also see Claire's point of view. And I think that the writers have done a pretty okay job of showing us both sides in this scenario. I think she could have made a better argument. But I also see her side of like, hey, is this so important? Is this more important to like any promise you could make to me as your wife? To postpone this for a year. I will help you in a year after he has married this person and had her conceive a child. That's all I'm asking for. Can you not do that? Like, I know he's here right now in your space and all that stuff, and you have done all this stuff, but like, can you not wait?
And he says, fine, I'll do it, but I'm just, he's curious.
Because he seemed content enough to wait before.
Right. He
because
was
he wasn't
he had to, right? Like, I have to wait till I get back to Scotland or get back to the British Isles or whatever to manage this. But he was excited at the opportunity. He was going to take the first opportunity he got, and this was it. Mm-hmm. And now she's saying, no, wait. It's like, fuck.
No, I totally get that. And I think she should have just been more upfront with him about, like in the carriage on the way back, be like, hey, by the way, this would affect Frank. And he's just like, I don't give a flying fuck about Frank. It's like, but you should, because otherwise I wouldn't be here.
Right, but I don't think either of them ever think in those terms. It's really
they never do, and it's really annoying.
It is annoying.
Not very forward thinking of them.
That is the end of that episode.
Well, he agrees to postpone.
Right, I said that, yes.
Oh, sorry.
So he agrees to postpone and says not to judge him.
There's another element of this argument where she's like, you owe me a life because I've saved yours twice. And
that's
then he's
just dumb.
Which is so stupid. And it's kind of debunked in the next episode that she owes him anything because
he's saved your life a bunch of times.
Sorry, that he owes her anything because, yeah, like you said, he's saved her life a majority of the time. That's like half the show, Jamie saving her life. And
exactly.
Half the time, it's the other, like maybe a quarter of the time, is her patching Jamie up.
Yeah, and for saving her life. So, yeah, no, that's bullshit. What were your best parts of this episode?
The twist of Randall coming back. Again, it could have been better, but I'll take what I can get. The king antagonizing the right people, like Randall. I love that. Drama! I will say, as much as, like, this gives us stuff to talk about. Like, this argument between Jamie and Claire is rife for drama, and you're almost, like, tempted to choose sides and, like, all that stuff. And I think that's really, it makes it more fun.
Honestly. Well, you definitely choose sides in the moment, but you also, like, are like, if you guys could actually communicate.
Yeah, if you guys could just stop yelling at each other and just, like, this would not take a few minutes, take a beat, yeah, and just, like, try again, like, come on, man. Yeah, you can do better.
It's not that hard.
Anyway, Murta. I like Murta. He's chill. He's funny.
The only two things I have are Murta and the King. I think both of them are, like, awesome. Murta is, like, the guy you want as your second. Like, mm-hmm, we're going to plan this. We're going to practice. We're going to make sure your hands are good, because, you know, Jamie's still got that injury that he's recovering from, that Blackjack Randall caused. The King laughing at Blackjack Randall is the funniest shit. First of all, he's so effeminate. He has these very flourishy hand gestures.
And we love that for him.
And the great, like, long, lacy cuffs and all that.
And this actor is doing a fabulous stuff.
He is, but he is chewing scenery like no man.
I love him so. I love him so.
And his whole entourage goes... It's just hilarious. It is exactly what you think of as French courtiers making fun of people. It is very, very funny. And so that was all I had for best parts. What were your worst parts?
Claire trying to break Alex and Mary apart.
Yeah, I forgot to write that down.
Fuck that. That's so awful. And also, like, at least it's a Randall. You never know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of foreshadowing for later, but that's not, like, super invasive, but, you know, it's, come on, man, shut the fuck up and let people be happy. Stop being selfish. Yeah. And you can obviously, like, if it were, I can excuse her going to Jamie and being like, this is the only thing I think I might be able to control about the future. Can you make sure that you don't kill this man?
That's, right now.
Yeah. Not now. Like, postponing and, like, just letting the chips fall where they may. Fine. You're encouraging that. That's fine. But actively, like, interfering with two people's love lives when you don't know, like, how the course of history would have gone without you. Well, actually, you should know by this point, considering she did marry the other brother. And so maybe they just would break up naturally. You don't have to interfere, Claire.
Right,
and exactly. Make this poor man more miserable than he already is. He just got out of jail. He didn't commit.
And Mary's a rape victim. Leave her the fuck alone.
I haven't even talked about Mary. Mary just went through a traumatizing event, and now you want to throw her with the traumatizing brother? Like, yeah, it's what?
Bad. It's bad.
Sorry. I had one more. I put Jamie challenging Randall to a duel. I think it's hasty.
It didn't bother me.
I think it's hasty. I do agree that, like, even without the Frank element, I think Claire has a right to be apprehensive about him just jumping into a duel when, first of all, you are technically still recovering from a hand injury.
Mm-hmm.
And second, just participating in a duel to the death regardless, I think she has a right to be upset about.
Yeah.
So just even departed from the whole Frank bullshit, like, I do agree that Claire has a right to be upset about that.
I totally agree. I agree she has a right to be upset about it. It's not a worst part for me, though, because, yeah, I think it is totally in character for Jamie.
Yeah, absolutely is. I'm not saying it's out of character. I'm just saying it's dumb.
The way this episode is so clunkily written, he has to, because he has to prove that Claire is right, that he's still impulsive. I mean, it's just, like, yes, and challenges people to duels, which is exactly the conversation she has.
Mom, one of a man.
This is the conversation she's having with one of my worst parts, which is Annalise, like, bitchy court girl. I don't like you.
Yeah, what exactly is she trying to get from this?
It's just, I don't know.
Whenever people are mean or annoying, I'm just like, what do you get from this? I'm so curious.
Well, especially since you're really not a major plot point. You know, like, it's not like even, like, some of these people who are repeat customers, like Leary.
repeat customers is crazy.
But you know what I mean? It's not like they're frequent flyers.
This woman is basically like a
she's a one-off character.
Yeah, she's a really character just there to be annoying.
Yeah. Don't
at
like
least,
her.
At least the other courtier, Luis, has a nice moment coming up. So yeah, at least that kind of redeems her in some ways.
I think she is less annoying to me. She's annoying as fuck, but she's less annoying to me. Blackjack Randall actually annoys me in this. Just
Of course, Randall.
They're like taunting Claire and taunting Jamie. What I loved was basically the king calling down in front of everybody, because it takes away that
you don't have the power here,
right? Yeah, you don't. Oh yes, you and your red outfit, it's so lovely, it's so bold of you to wear that here.
He's essentially like making fun of his clothes,
it's
everything.
It's so funny. It's
like this fashion takedown, which is just so charming. I love it.
I mean, it is such like a takedown, like you'd see on
a
some
fashionable
sort of
gay man taking someone down. Yes. And I love that for him.
It is super funny. So yeah, that was fun. But Blackjack Randall is not fun. And the breaking up Mary now, which we've already talked about. What grade did you give this?
If it's thinking of B minus, I think the reason I give it a higher grade than most other things is because at least interesting shit happened. Because that's not always a given when you have a France episode and even a Scotland episode. So I'll take the like drama that I get. And honestly, again, it sparks conversations like who's in the right here. No one's really in the right. But like, you know, it's that morally gray stuff that I do like cherry picking and like diving into. So I like the drama. I think I remember at one point in Downton Abbey, I was just like, oh, well, at least there's drama. And so I gave it a higher score. That rule still applies.
So what is your score?
B minus.
I gave it a C. Because, you know, I am always about, like, the plot moving forward and this stupid fucking argument.
Sometimes the plot doesn't move forward.
It doesn't feel like
Jack Randall's back.
It doesn't feel like it's moving. Anyway, next episode is the Best Laid Schemes.
Episode 6.
This episode is really just more annoying. is just like Claire is having to wait on Jamie. Jamie's like out doing businessy things, and Claire just goes to the hospital. She hears about the fact that the king is really coming down on practitioners of what we call the dark arts. I would like this a lot more if we had, I don't know, Remus Lupin involved. This is not that interesting. Their idea of dark arts is basically like potions class. It's more Snape. I don't know.
Snape has always wanted the position. Maybe this is his time to shine. You never know.
You never know. But she goes to tell him, Raymond, that, hey, they're coming for people. They might, like, actually execute people.
And he's like, don't worry about it. This has happened before.
Yeah. And she's like, no, I think this is different. And he's like, oh, well, you know, you need to get out of here because you shouldn't be here if that's the case. So.
And then Jamie and Claire have this conversation of, hey, Claire, the only reason I'm allowing Frank to exist right now is because if Culloden goes forward, and we all know I'm going to fight in that if that happens, I want to make sure that you have a nice soft place to land, and that happens to be back in our favorite dimension, England.
But Victorian?
I know, I was kidding. It's World War II. I was trying to do the Once Upon a Time in Wonderland thing.
Yeah.
Which I did re-listen to her episodes. You should listen to those. Crap. Those are funny. Wow. But, that icon Jafar. Anyway. So, essentially, he's just like, hey, I want you to have a backup plan. And it's like, okay. And he's like, but also, you have to promise me that you will go through the stones if I tell you to.
And if, like, the time sure. comes. And she's thinking,
this is
never going to happen.
We all know it does.
Teflon people. But, yeah. So she
it also makes the fact that she did go through and, like, screaming, crying, whatever, At the beginning, it makes more sense, and also it makes it more tragic because it's something she promised Jamie that she would do.
Right.
Instead of being forced to do it, instead of
it was a pact.
Either way,
But they do have a conversation about that.
The plan for the whole bullshit with the wine is, as you stated before, make it look like there's a smallpox outbreak in Saint-Germain's storage area. Mm-hmm. And then they are going to take it on the road, but Jamie's going to have to come with. It's going to have to be his men because Saint-Germain's appear ill. And
Did you completely skip? Oh, no. You keep going.
Okay.
Fergus is gonna help.
Also, Murtaugh now knows about the future.
Yes. So they have this lengthy conversation, and I gotta say, Murtaugh's like, I'll believe it. I'm not gonna say Claire's not a witch. So okay.
He's like, okay, why didn't you fucking tell me?
You think your wife's a witch? Sure, okay.
Murtaugh's a very open-minded individual, so he'll just do whatever. Mm. Like, he doesn't care.
He's been through some shit. Mm. Yes, anyway. He's been blood in my blood, definitely been through some shit. Okay.
Aww.
He's a sweetie.
Either way, so the plan goes forward, Jamie, but Saint-Germain wants to come with, and so it's Jamie, his men, and Saint-Germain. And
Fergus.
Fergus isn't there. Fergus is taking care of Claire. Either way, they're on the road, and Murtaugh and the rest of these, like, hired thugs are going to pretend to raid it.
So Fergus's job is to spike the wine.
We're on the road now.
I didn't say they actually spiked them. I'm sorry.
It was successful. They look like they have smallpox.
Okay.
Either way, they're on the road now, and Murtaugh and a brigand of thieves or whatever come in and threaten them, and in an effort to make it look like an accident or to make Jamie look less conspicuous, he pushes Saint-Germain out of the way of Murtaugh's gun and has Murtaugh knock him out.
Yeah, which happens. And it's kind of fun for Murtaugh, like, knocking him out probably feels pretty good.
Probably.
They get back Claire is all the whole time, like, hanging out with the women. She gets pissed off. It's not. She gets pissed. This is so anachronistic. That's what part of it is.
They're talking about how the poor shouldn't be anywhere near me. And she's like, but don't you ever worry about the poor? And they're just like, no. And she's just like, excuse me, I have to go to the volunteer hospital.
And she does. And she feels unwell. And so she ends up staying there overnight. Fergus goes back and apparently while he is telling Jamie that Claire's still at the hospital, Jamie gets a missive from the prince saying, hey,
who's found out that he's just lost out on all this money in this wine thing that got, like, stolen.
Right. So he says, you got to come and meet at the whorehouse. So they go to the whorehouse and Fergus goes with, because that's what Fergus does. Mm-hmm. And while they're at the whorehouse, Fergus wanders off.
That's all we see.
Yeah.
And so, next thing we know.
But Jamie is having this lengthy conversation with the prince and Saint-Germain and whatever.
Doesn't really matter. Mm-mm. Saint-Germain suspects him, but then Charles is like, I fell right into Jamie's trap. He jumped in front of you.
Trap was that? Yeah, okay. He jumped in front of you to try to save you. What the fuck?
Yeah, why would he do that if it was real?
Yeah.
If it wasn't real. Anyway.
Mark me. It's like mock me.
Either way. So essentially, Claire's on her way back to the house and she finds it empty and everyone's on edge and she's like, what the fuck is happening?
And they realize that, or they tell her that.
Well, no, she finds the letters. They don't tell her shit.
No, they do tell her.
Eventually, after she finds the letter.
Her
maid tells her a little bit. Mm-hmm. Essentially, Jamie has gone through with the duel with Blackjack Randall and she's like, you promised! Fucking promised!
Yes.
And so she's really upset. And so she goes with her butler to
Magnus.
To the spot where the duel is taking place. And she watches it for a little while.
And she starts giving birth. She has been having contractions since she read the note. And so she goes on this very rough ride into the woods and she starts bleeding. And she starts yelling, Jamie!
Claire? And the only thing we really see of this duel, other than like them just sort of doing the regular stuff, is that Jamie stabs him in the dick.
So, yeah, he stabs Blackjack Randall in the dick with a saber, which sounds very painful.
Good.
But yes, oh, absolutely, totally fine.
But not good for Frank, is it?
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be. So but their soldiers come to arrest them for dueling. There's Claire
giving birth on the sidelines.
Jamie yells, Claire! Claire!
Jamie!
And she collapses. And of course, he's getting taken off and being arrested. And that's the end of the episode. So, what were your best parts?
Myrta.
I love Myrta on this. I do. I think Fergus is very cute in this too.
I also like Jamie initially letting Randall live with and like making Claire promise that she will go somewhere safe. It's very Jamie to me.
Yeah.
And then Fergus, adorable. I love Fergus. He's great. He wants to protect everybody.
Cool.
That's all I wrote.
Yeah, I've got Myrta and Fergus and Jamie. I do think, you know, Jamie and his goofed up plan, which is like how these things always, and I know it's partly Claire's plan, so I have Claire with a question mark, but it's more Jamie, like he has to actually do the work as usual. So I respect that he's actually trying to get stuff done. What were your worst parts?
Jamie dueling anyway. At this stage in the game, we don't know why this is happening. And the fact that he did promise Claire, hey, I'm not going to duel this guy, and then the next thing Claire knows is that she's giving birth watching him duel this guy, is not ideal.
No, it's not. I mean, that's not... Is that your only worst part?
Yeah, I also hate Blackjack Randall.
Yeah, Blackjack Randall's bad. Saint-Germain, I think, is bad. I mean, like, you're like, oh, he's... set this whole thing up. Like,
I mean, he's correct. Yeah, but you can't say the guy's wrong.
No.
And at this stage of the game, we don't know if he was even the one who poisoned Claire or sent the brigands after her. We don't know. It has not been confirmed. And so at this stage of the game, he's just lost a lot of inventory and he's pissed at this guy for losing the inventory because of him and his wife.
Yeah, whatever. So they were my two worst parts. I do think Jamie dueling, although I know where this comes from, so it's not a whole worst part to me. What grade did you give this one?
B.
I have this as a B+, which can't be right. So.
I didn't write anything down in the moment, which is odd for me. But
I'm gonna say it's a B.
Yeah, because it has the drama.
Yeah, I do like some drama, like the dueling thing and that kind of stuff. Some
Claire getting on the sidelines watching the duels.
Yeah, bleeding out. That's so.
It's like fully bleeding. Like
not ideal. The thing I like about this show is that there is some level of grittiness. It's not full on gritty, but there is some level of grittiness. So that's, you know, like a cool thing about this show. So, season 2, episode 7, Faith.
Yeah. So,
not Hope or Charity, just Faith.
Yeah, so this episode deals with, and we'll add like another caveat here, this episode deals with child loss. So if that's a sensitive subject for you.
I love the way you actually bother with these things.
Like, I don't know what to tell you.
You've got
to
watch, if you've watched the show, then you know what you're getting yourself into. Yeah. So,
but if you haven't, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, but you're going to have to skip this episode. Claire, there's this really brief future segment of Claire in the 50s talking to her daughter, which is clearly Jamie's daughter because of the red hair. And she's just like, oh, I've seen a heron in Scotland. And her child's like, wow. And then
when were you in Scotland?
And she's like, a long time ago. But also, like, the heron motif makes zero sense to me and is never explained. Like, obviously, a motif doesn't always have to be explained, but they just randomly cut to, like, images of a heron like flying across the sky, and I'm just like, is that supposed to mean something? Like, what are you talking about? So in essence, Claire was rushed to the hospital by her butler, and she, they had this whole operation of her trying to like save her and the baby, but the baby was stillborn, and yeah, that's really unfortunate. And so when she wakes up, she finds out that Mother Hildegard baptized the baby secretly and gave her name, the name Faith, and so she could be buried on hallowed ground. And so the baby is dead, and Claire is freaking out. And yeah. I mean, makes sense.
And she's also like in a massive fever. Things are not good. She's having a lot of legitimately terrifying illness symptoms as a result of this birth. So,
but not all of them can be explained by, oh, she's just, her, that's the natural course of birth. It's like, oh no, something's genuinely wrong here. And so she gets visited in the night by Master Raymond. And so he comes in his like monk's cloak to like master disguise his way in. And he's just like, hey, I'm here to help. And so he helps her get part of the placenta out of her vagina. That's a real friend. Reaching up in there, getting that placenta out. And so he basically like massages her stomach to,
and kind
like,
of like pushes
maneuver
it out.
Yeah. And so he does.
Well, it's
and
kind then, of like turning a baby. You've seen them do this on TV where they try to turn a baby that's breech.
Well, Claire's even of, done it.
Yeah. So
for Jenny.
Oh, try a bit, failed.
Try a bit.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff inside your body that you can't control from the outside. So this
but
is
you can
fortunate.
Try.
It's fortunate that Raymond is able to pull this off. But when he comes in, I swear I was yelling, Jawa, Utini. I couldn't help it. It was a very Star Wars looking
You're
day.
Expecting old Ben to show up again? Yeah, I love that. We recently watched New Hope, sorry.
It's the best Star Wars.
I like Empire. I like both. I love both. Those are the two best ones by far.
Yeah, for sure. But New Hope sets up the whole universe, and that's really pretty cool.
No, I agree.
Either way.
And also young Mark Hamill.
So fucking hot. Oh my god, it's ridiculous.
God.
I had such a crush on him for so long, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So sad. I mean, you understand that I saw this movie when I was like 10 or 11.
Oh, that would do it.
Yeah, it did.
And now Harrison Ford.
Not
so hot, but we already knew that.
No, Harrison Ford had been it for a while, you know, but had never seen Mark Hamill before. So anyway,
talking about a child loss, yes.
Yeah, anyway, it is nothing like that. What happens to Claire is really truly horrible, but she is healed by Raymond, which is lovely. But she's still emotionally scarred, and so she stays at the hospital for a while. And she doesn't know what to do because her husband hasn't come to see her. They find out he's in the Bastille. And she's kind of like, I don't know what to fucking do at this point. But she ends up going home. And she's like pacing the floor at night because she can't sleep, and she's, you know, had this loss, and she doesn't know what to do. And she hears Fergus crying.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Really quick. Of course, this is when the pre-christening present comes back to bite us in the ass. This is why you shouldn't give you a pre-christening present. Just in case.
It's not just yet.
No, that happens before.
Before Fergus? No.
No, yeah, this happens.
Why are we arguing with this? This is dumb.
I don't know. I'm just going to talk about this just so I can get my stupid joke out of the way. Of when she was looking at the 12 Apostle spoons, it reminded me of this line from Glee that I think Mercedes says because she is a Christian or a Catholic and she's in the God Squad. And they are talking about, like, whether or not they should extend their, like, singing telegram services to a gay couple. Because not everyone's comfortable with that and whatever. And so she's just like, but we have to take into account that, like, 1 in 10 people are gay. So that means one of the 12 apostles was probably gay. And I think it might be Simon because that name's the gayest. I love that line. It's so dumb, and I don't know why it came to me, but it made me laugh.
There is so much rabbit holing involved in that. I just don't even know what to say.
I gave you way too much context for it.
Yeah, it's fine.
I felt like it was warranted.
Okay. So getting back to Fergus, and again, there are a lot. We aren't even go through all these trigger warnings, but he's crying. She goes to try to comfort him. And he doesn't want to talk about what he was having nightmares about because he's like, it wasn't a nightmare. It was, you know, this really happened. And so he explains that what happened to him while he was at the whorehouse with Jamie, he went to go steal stuff, which is what he does. He just thinks that that's kind of fun. And he went to steal something from a room. It was a bottle of perfume. And when he tried to do that, he ends up trapped in the room with Blackjack Randall, who rapes him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's crying out in the course of the rape, and Jamie, you know, busts in to save him and realizes it's Blackjack Randall and challenges him to a duel. And so Fergus is upset for multiple reasons. Like, he feels like he's at fault for being in the room, for like Blackjack Randall rape him, for crying out, and that gets Jamie involved in the duel, and that gets him in the Bastille, and that caused the baby to be lost. I mean, he feels responsible for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she realizes, oh, well, that's not fair.
And really, the only thing that he's really responsible for is being in the room. And yeah. Other than that, you shouldn't have to take responsibility for that man's actions against you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another thing that rape victims have a lot of issue with, of just like, okay, yes. Well, I must have done something. It's like, no, this person was doing that, and that is not your fault.
Yes.
You are, that's not.
Yeah, there were a lot of potential responses for Blackjack Randall, and he chose the worst one.
I was listening to our first Outlander episode that are now coming out, like, now.
Yes.
And so I was listening to that, and I was just like, you see this helpless woman in the woods thinking that you're her husband, and then your answer to that is, let's rape you. Like, yeah, like, his response to everything seems to be rape, but also,
Rapist, rapey.
What the fuck was that?
That's his response to everything.
Apparently. So, and not rapier, raper. What he says when he finds Fergus in the room is, oh, you're not what I ordered, but you'll have to do. It's like, you ordered something anywhere near this? That also is questionable, because we didn't add Predator to the list, but let's add it, because the fuck? He's like 10!
Yeah, he is a predator. He's terrible. He's a horrible, horrible human being.
And we already knew that, but now it's really confirmed.
In case you were wondering.
If you thought this near-death experience he had with cattle was any indication of a like major breakthrough, you're wrong. It probably made him worse.
Yep. All of that.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, so he feels super guilty, and he hates himself and whatever. And not whatever, but you know what I mean? It's like, Claire just tells him, no, it's okay. So Claire now wants to get a private audience with the king to beg for Jamie's release. And what Mother Hildegard, who has some connections, tells her is, yeah, the king's probably going to want to sleep with you for that. And
because she's like, that's what he does.
Because that's what he does.
He's agreed.
And so she's just like, whatever, fine. I might as well do this too. And so because in all fairness, that's essentially, and they mentioned this later, this is what Jamie did to save Claire's life not too long ago.
Yeah.
And so, but at least it's the king.
Yeah, at least you're going higher.
And you know what you expect. And you're not being tortured with it, you know?
And you're volunteering.
Yeah, you're volunteering. Well, no, Jamie technically did volunteer.
That was Kurt said that. They were threatening to kill Claire.
Yeah, no, it's different. It's different, I know. So, either way, so she goes to the king's quarters or whatever. And the king takes her down the secret passageway because he's heard that she's La Dame Blanche. And that essentially means she does white magic. And so she can trust her.
Yeah, and she would know good from bad, who's evil and who isn't evil.
And he brings out the two other people we know in France. Sacheron and Master
Raymond. The conservation of characters, you know?
Yeah, it really is. And that's why I said that. And so there, he's like, one of these people, or both, are people who do the dark arts, and I want to kill them. So can you tell me which one is it, please?
Can I get
Or
it?
both? And she's like, I don't know how to get out of this, so I'm just gonna have to wing it. And she's just like, okay, well, let me look in their eyes. It's like there's a shadow over Sasha Mann's eyes because she doesn't like this
Of
guy.
course, she hates him, and everybody knows it. But part of it, what she says is like, I can make this tincture or whatever, like potion, and we'll see who survives and whoever survives. But if I do this, you have to release whoever survives.
And then the king's like, no, I'm the king. And I'm just like, exactly.
He's
What
like,
there this
wow.
ultimatum makes no sense, Claire. You have no power here.
Exactly. What the fuck do
Truly,
you
you
think
don't.
you
Even if you like say, oh, Master Raymond is fine, but the Sancharman is not, the king can just choose to kill both of them anyway. Like it doesn't matter.
And you.
And you.
And you. So, yeah.
And so essentially she makes this the bitter cascara thing to make it appear like something's happening, but nothing does.
Right.
And
She's
hopefully
got her
that
potion
would
neck,
save both of
her
them.
poison necklace on, by the way.
Yeah. And hopefully this will save both of them, because even though she has this feeling, and which is confirmed by Saint-Germain in the scene that he tried to kill her, she's just like, no, it's fine.
It's fine. I'm not out to get you in any way.
No, it's totally
So
fine.
she gives the cup initially to Raymond. Raymond drinks it, and he does have a reaction to it,
Yeah, well, because it's bitter cascara.
because it's bitter cascara. And then she turns to give the cup to Saint-Germain, who starts begging for his life and shit. And it's like, yeah, look, that poisoning thing. I didn't really mean that.
Well, no, but also like her necklace
It's
turns,
black.
changes color because Master Raymond put poison in it
Right.
so that the king would be satisfied with killing one of them as long as it's not him.
Right.
And you know what, fair, but you know, that's still kind of
Right.
fucked,
And
dude.
Claire knows that, but the king does not. So moving on.
And Saint-Germain knows it too because he sees the poison.
Well, he sees the necklace reacting.
Yeah, because he knew what that meant at the
Right.
dinner table
Right.
before.
So he starts like, hey, I didn't mean to try to kill you. I didn't, I that poisoning thing was such a joke.
It's a joke.
Yeah, and what way is this joke funny? Who's this joke for?
Saint-Germain t drinks it and he dies. And then Master Raymond is released, but he is banished from France. But at least he's alive. So mission accomplished, Claire. And then the
Yay.
king's like, all right, Claire, it's time for
Pay up.
sex now.
Pay
If
up,
I'm really
girlfriend.
going to let your husband out of prison, we're gonna have to have sex about it.
Right. And so she basically lays down where he says, and he does two thrusts and he's done.
Literally, too.
Now, I will tell you that in the book, they describe this in great detail. And I think it's partly some of that
For humor.
reputation. No, some of the reputation of Louis XV is definitely that he had a tiny penis.
That's
And
so funny. I didn't know
that like he came very quickly. And
that.
so
That must be great for sexual partners, you know?
Well,
If you're not a repeat offender, you know? Like
well,
if it's for payment,
right,
yeah,
but
this
it
is
was one of
perfect
those
for
things where
Claire.
Claire was like, I'm not even trying to have sex with him. Something happened.
Something happened
Something
down
was
there. I'm
strange.
not sure what it was, but it certainly
Yay.
wasn't rigorous sex. So you know what?
Tiny penis.
No, again, like
So
if that's his wife, yeah, that fucking sucks for you. But well, depends. Depends on if you really want anything out of the
moving
sex. But
on,
that's
moving on. So,
okay.
bottom line is, she does it. She goes home. Jamie's released. He's got a really god awful beard and
It's so bad.
bad wig. Bad wig.
Anyway, so he shows up and he's like begging for any information about the baby, and she's just not giving him anything. And he's like, do I have to beg? And it's like, I'm sorry, sir, but I know you've had a rough couple of weeks, but so is Claire.
Yeah, she
Who
has.
had to deal with this on her own because of you, regardless of the honor in you choosing to have a duel with him at that point, you still abandoned your wife.
Yeah, and she points out, like, look, I hated you for a while, so don't be thinking that I'm. She's like, I forgive you and I love you and stuff, but in the moment, I really, really hated you for quite some time now.
No, and I agree. I think that's absolutely valid.
Absolutely.
And then she's just, and he's like, I've forgiven you for everything you've ever done before and now. And she's like, well, that will have to also continue into my next statement. I had to have sex with the king beforehand, before this, so that you could get out. And he's like, well, I did essentially the same thing with Blackjack Randall, so whatever.
So we're good.
So we're even.
And that, then well, they go to put an apostle spoon on Faith's grave.
Well, here's another element. We see this, she's describing why she, when she hated him, whatever. And we see parts of the hospital scene that we didn't before, of her cradling the stillborn baby and singing a lullaby from back home, the 1940s. Yeah. And, or before, it was definitely before then. But, you know, it was a little song, a little ditty from her time and her era. Mm-hmm. And this comes back later in a way that no one expected.
Right, and honestly, I'd completely forgotten and was probably maybe asleep when this was going on. So,
well, yes, but I would also like to say the fact that it comes back at all is kind of crazy, but I don't know how to describe it. It's just so bizarre. Also, in their conversation, they decide to go back to Scotland. Because why the fuck are they in France, truly? Like, it's not going to do anything. And so they just kind of give up on the whole France thing, and then they're just going to go to Scotland after they visit the child's grave. And so, yeah, that's the end of the episode.
What were your best parts?
Katrina Balfe's acting. My goodness, she breaks my heart in this episode. She's so good. I really do feel for Claire in this scene. And not the scene, this whole episode, I feel really, really bad for her. And I think that her acting is a large part of that, because it's like, I could easily just be like, well, Claire, that really, well, no, actually, I would always feel bad for her. But I think that her acting really tips it over the edge. And so, yeah, I think that's one of them. Raymond, I like Raymond. I think that's kind of a boss ass move to like add the poison afterwards. Fergus, poor baby. I would also like to say, young Fergus is one of my favorite characters.
He's
in all
the best characters. Seriously, he's
fantastic. He's so good. Oh, yeah. He's so good. And then Claire's visit with the king for Jamie's release. That whole sequence is so batshit insane that I have to love it.
Oh, yeah. Like,
they go into this stargazing room.
This almost like Star Chamber, because it does have, like, pinpoint lights that come through, and it's got this marble floor that's intricately designed.
And, like, there are, like, torches everywhere.
And I would point out, we've been to Versailles. It is gorgeous, of course, but I don't remember a room like that. Mm-mm. But very fucking cool. If there is a room, I'd like the backstage tour.
Secret room.
I want the secret tour, people. Let's have the secret tour of Versailles. Let's do it.
You'll have to have three thrusts with the king for that to happen.
Do I get to pick the king?
No.
Damn. I haven't decided yet. I get to decide later.
Right. Next time we're in France.
Yeah, exactly. My best part's Jamie, I think, is really very good in this episode. I love Claire.
Jamie forgiving and all that stuff.
Yeah. Raymond, I think, is great in this episode. Fergus is great. Yeah, I think we touched on all that. What were your worst parts?
Oh, I put this in the wrong place, but Sasha Mann dying is a best part. That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't put that as the best part. I put him as a worst part. Does that count?
That's fine. I do like that he admits that he poisoned her. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
The only thing that's left is pacing. It's just kind of bizarrely paced, and the random heron imagery didn't really do anything for me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's some filmographer's cinematographer like reason for that or whatever.
Symbolic,
like, the heron is symbolic for like purity and faith or something.
I think there is a discussion about that in the book that I don't remember.
We don't care.
We
cut to a heron so many times in this episode, and I'm like, this is just there. Yeah. It doesn't add anything because it's not explained within the episode's confines. And so I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. I feel like,
and also
some of the symbolism is getting lost in translation.
And not just the pacing of this episode, but the pacing of the season, considering the fact that we are now just going to go back to Scotland. It's like, well, fuck France. We've been here for 7 episodes. We don't care anymore.
Well, like, what they basically are saying, like, well, you know, we did what we could. Hopefully the prince isn't going to get any more money. You know, let's go home.
Just given up like that.
And they're worn out emotionally, which
that's fine.
Okay, that's valid. And physically, I think both of them have pretty much had it with France, and I think Martel wins on this one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my worst parts were the king and Saint-Germain, and the king, not his performance is hilarious still. I'm very, very funny. But I feel like that whole you gotta have sex with me thing, fuck off.
Yeah, that's stupid. But I do find it very, very funny that before the sex, not after, but before the preamble, the foreplay, if you will, was to, hey, condemn one of these men to death, and then we'll get humping and pumping.
Yeah, that's a turn on.
Sure. What are you talking about?
What grade did you give this episode?
B?
I gave it a B because it is memorable. I mean, there's a lot of memorable
shit. I do remember this episode.
But it's not particularly...
I don't know.
I don't know how to put it other than
I'm tempted to give it a B+.
No, and it's a pacing problem. I would not give it a B+ because of the pacing. I think that there's a lot of unevenness in how the show is edited, and that will be a complaint in later seasons too.
Oh, yeah.
But it's definitely true here. Like, you know, we've got that Game of Thrones speed travel thing that you talk about too.
Oh my God.
Like, this next episode is like all like speed travel.
Skip the travel and just go straight to whatever the fuck this is. Right. And I think that many... But not just writers of like TV series or movies, but also writers of books get a little bit, not lazy, but like they write themselves into a box of like, okay, I'm going to describe every little event that happens in between points A and B. And then later on, they're like, well, I don't want to deal with the travel segment, so let's just fucking skip it. And so the series people don't have anything to work with. But
unless you're in Master and Commander, and even then they have montages, so you know.
Well, either way, I think that it was an issue in Game of Thrones in the later seasons. I didn't mind it as much because at least they were like, okay, well, this amount of time did pass, but we're just not going to see it. Like, fine, that's fine. But like making it seem like there's less time passing than there should be, like for example. From Winterfell to King's Landing, a month. Okay, fine. Yeah. King's Road takes a month, whatever. They never renege on that. They just don't show it. And that's fine. But there are moments later in later seasons of Outlander where it's just like, well, I can help this sick patient on my, like, after my travel from Scotland back to America. And it's
I know. We've talked about this before. So we're going to move on. We are going to bitch about it again.
We don't bitch about it until season 7 of Outlander.
Not necessary in every episode.
I feel like after season 4, I'm going to have a lot less to talk about in seasons 5 and 6, depending. I don't remember them all that well. And then season 7, I have so much shit to say. Oh my goodness.
No, it's just a recency thing. You have some recency shit going on.
Oh my god. You know, including my favorite character, Lord Dogrey.
Not my favorite character. I'm just telling you up front, not my favorite.
Whenever I say Lord Dogrey, I always say it like the SNL like sketch. No. What were you saying?
Upstairs, downstairs.
Oh, no.
Yes.
But that is also how I say that. But I was thinking of that SNL sketch of John Smith.
Whatever.
Don't you want to hang out with the character John Smith? No.
So season 2, episode 8, The Fox's Lair. Now, If they had told that the whole thing should be foreshadowed, is it should be titled The Blackfish's Lair, because the actor that they're talking about that plays the person they call the fox is in fact the blackfish.
Call him the fox.
They refer to him, and he's kind of a fox, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah,
I don't remember that.
They do. but doesn't matter, because they should be talking about the fact that he's the blackfish. And yes, you could be going to River
End. Game of Thrones.
Yes, you could have Edmure there. If there had been a reunion, that would have made me super fucking happy.
That would have been hilarious.
No, it didn't happen.
It would have just been another father disappointed in his
son. And by the way, spoiler, the blackfish being in this episode is a best part for me, because he is such a great actor.
Oh, I love him.
I adore him. He's fantastic.
I hate his character, but I love him.
I hate his character in Blood of My Blood a lot more, because
the actor is not as
appealing, honestly.
I don't think he's meant to be appealing, and he's doing his job.
Right, but the blackfish isn't meant to be appealing in this role either. But he's got a little bit of charm to the evil. I don't know. It's hard to
explain. I don't see any charm, but the actor has charisma, and mm-hmm. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. However, I still hate his guts. Not the actor, the character. But
character sucks. So it's Lord Lovett that we're talking about.
It's essentially a Blood of My Blood prequel of like, coming next in Blood of My Blood. This storyline that you heard about Outlander is eventually going to come in Blood of My Blood.
Right. This is true. So what we hear about in this episode is that Jamie and Claire go back to Lollybrock. Things are happy, things are great, and then they find out that the prince has been putting out a flyer saying, hey, all these people agree I should be the prince, and we're committing treason, and we're gonna like rise up and stuff, and one of them is Jamie. And Jamie's like, fuck. So they have this discussion. It's like, look, you have no choice. You're gonna have to follow through on this because you love your family and shit. So he's like, I've gotta go and get people from my clan. And we haven't heard much about Clan Frasier. And honestly, like you had been thinking all along that Clan Frasier is just the people at Lollybrock, but no, apparently there is like a whole clan. And what you hear about is that the clan is based with this Lord Lovett. And Lord Lovett is the grandfather of Jamie, which means he is the father of Jamie's father, obviously.
Jamie's father was a bastard as well.
Right. So he was an accepted bastard. Like he'd been acknowledged bastard. Which
much like one of our favorite heroes in Bridgerton, Garrett.
Garrett's great.
Did you call him Garrett?
Garrett, no.
Good.
No.
Yes, Garrett.
Oh,
more Garrett. Oh, Garrett.
More Garrett. Anyway, so
I'm so excited for that season. If they fuck it up, I'm gonna be so upset.
Yeah, there are not excuses for fucking that one up. It's my favorite.
It's also perfect.
And it's great. Anyway,
we're obviously biased, but it doesn't matter.
We've read the books. We're allowed to be biased. We can have opinions, and it is great. So we get back to Lord Lovett. So they go. They being Claire and Jamie go to see Lord Lovett and recruit people. They show up there. Colm McKenzie is already there. And what Colm's lobbying for is neutrality.
Mm.
Like, don't be part of this uprising. Lord Lovett apparently is like just kind of a dickhead. They part of what Jamie had told Claire about them is that after his mother, which would be Ellen McKenzie, and Jamie's dad got together, that Lord Lovett tried to kidnap her from. So this is
and sent her away.
Right.
This is season two. Exactly. Coming up next on Blood of My Blood. We haven't seen this shit yet, but now we know. Because I was actually shocked because I had not remembered this.
I didn't remember it either.
Because when you're watching Outlander, it's like, well, that's not happening in the moment, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
I'm also wondering if like there's secretly some kid of Lovett named William that's in this room, but we don't know.
See, here's the thing. But he named Okay, so what happened in Blood of My Blood? A brief recap, just really quick. Claire's mother and Lord Lovett got married forcefully. She pretended to have his child when it wasn't his.
It was in fact
Claire's father.
Right, and so it's Claire's brother.
Yeah, it's Claire's biological brother. And so she gave birth saying it was Lovett's, and Lovett named him Simon Jr. And we do meet a young Simon in this episode.
We do.
So I don't know if that's Claire's brother or if that's not.
Because the actor doesn't look like Claire's brother.
And also, additionally, like, it is mentioned at one point that he has had 3 marriages.
Yes.
We only know of 2, I believe.
Right, and of 2 in Blood of My Blood.
In Blood of My Blood. So right. There could have been another one
after.
And have another Simon.
Correct. But we don't know. There's some things that are untold about Blood of My Blood so far. And it's been intriguing, so whatever. Moving on. We have this meetup. They are trying to recruit people. The Blackfish, I'm going to call him that. I can't
believe it. It's fine.
The Blackfish is basically playing everybody off of everybody because what he really, really wants is Lallyrock and the lands. And why that particular parcel of land is so important to both sides, no one has said.
I think he just wants it out of spite. Because essentially what Brian did, his son and Jamie's father, did was even after Ellen died and Simon was trying to get Brian to be his successor, because I guess he didn't have any faith in young Simon mm-hmm. at this stage in the game. Maybe he was just a child. Mm-hmm. However, Brian was just like, no, I'm going to stay true to her memory and I'm just going to take care of Lallybroch and the lands and my family. So right. Fuck you.
Yeah. Well, we know there's going to be more to this that is discussed in Blood of My Blood. Anyway.
At some point.
At some point. So, what we have happening now is the Blackfish basically is like, hey, if you give me Lallybroch, you can give me Lallybroch or we're going to rape your wife.
And by we, I mean like all of my clans.
All of my clansmen. And
it's give. You know what it's giving? It's giving Ramsay Bolton.
Yes.
Sending that message to John about like, oh, I'm going to have all of my men and their horses rape your sister. It's like, fuck you. Like, no, but not what I okay. love, what I love is Jamie's response to it of, yeah, you can try, but she's a white witch. So I really you shouldn't do that.
Well, and one of the things that we had seen prior to this is that apparently the Blackfish is very influenced by seers and things like that. And that is a theme that's also true in Blood of My Blood.
Yep.
But the seer that he had thrown and abused, had seen that he would be killed by an executioner, unclear whose executioner it would be. Claire finds this
also,
out.
Also, meanwhile, there's this whole bullshit subplot. Leary's back. She's here calling to do his laundry. Anyway, so Leary's here and she's just like, I'm sorry that I said all that stuff about you. I've made a deal with God not to do that anymore.
And Claire catches her smelling Jamie's shirt. It's like, oh my God, you're so gross.
That's another element of it. But also, Claire snaps back and was just like, you know what? I've had a lot of fantasies about what I'd do to you if you ever came back in my life in any particular way. And you know what? It all ended with the same thing that you promised me. I'd dance on your fucking ashes, bitch. Yeah. And I'm just like, I love that for you, Claire.
Love that she says it. And she's like, and I pity you because Jamie's never going to love you.
I pity you, and I'm not going to forgive you. Fuck you.
Right.
And then she leaves. But then she's like, well, maybe we could use Leary to make young Simon stand up for himself for the Jacobites. And so yeah. They try this stupid harebrained scheme of like, so hey, maybe we could have Leary seduce this guy and give him some self-confidence.
Right. So all Claire really wanted Leary to do and tried to explain to Leary, look, all you have to do is talk to this guy. He's kind of bookish, whatever. He's kind of a nerd. Just like talk to him and talk to him about like, oh, I really like guys who
I want people who are decisive
and stuff like that. And Leary doesn't know how to have a conversation with people. because, you know, he starts trying to recite poetry or whatever. She's like, well, I showed him my breast, but he wasn't interested. It's like, oh my God, I told you not to try to have sex with him.
No.
But let's face it, that's all Larry knows how to do because she's a hure and she's evil. I hate her so much. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Simon, however, when it comes down to it, when Jamie's actually challenged by the Blackfish in front of God and everybody, like, you're going to sign over Lallybroch. Jamie's going to do it, but Claire does this, wait, I'm having a vision thing.
Yeah.
And the Blackfish is going to go stab her, but young Simon intervenes on her behalf. And Larry's like, looking at him like, oh, that could be hot. Because, you know, Larry's a hooer. And they do say hooer a lot, and it is hilarious to me in these Scottish accents. It is so, so, so fucking funny. So they end up leaving with nothing, basically, because he decides, the Blackfish is like, even though you stood up to me, fuck you, I am going to sign a neutrality pact with the Mackenzies. Bye. But young Simon says he's going to go with Jamie. So they all are leaving. And as they're leaving, the Blackfish shows up and gives his men to his son and says, yeah, y'all go do this, but I've got something in writing saying I'm neutral. So that if the English win, which I expect they're going to, I and, you know, the people who aren't going will be safe.
Yeah, because he has the neutrality pact on one side, and then also my heir was fighting for you, so I definitely had something to do with that on the other side. So yeah. He's kind of protected on all sides.
Yeah, he is, and it's kind of, it's
fun. And he doesn't get Lallybroch, so fuck you.
Yeah, but part of what's fun to me is, like, I could totally, it's kind of a conversation he had with Jamie Lannister. She's like, I just wanted to just take the measure of you. I'm not impressed. He's just so fucking great. I love this actor. I'm having
difficulty figuring out which show I want to re-listen to our podcast episodes on.
Game of Thrones is so good. Anyway, but Game of Thrones, I'd watch again. So that's the end of
And that's season six. That's awesome season.
It's true. But anyway, so that's the end of the episode, isn't it?
Yes.
What were your best parts?
Jenny and Ian. I love it when they're on my screen. They're awesome.
I love Jenny in this particularly. She's great.
Yeah, she's like...
We didn't talk about it really at all.
We didn't. But we love her. Jamie making Claire into a myth. I love him just being like, well, you can try to rape my wife, but she's going to fucking hex you. I like you won't be so much
like dust after.
But I like this method of like creating this legend around her to make men afraid of her so that they don't try to rape her. And I love that for him. It's like one of those like possessive but not like toxic ways of doing it, of like
it builds her up too, like
you know what it's giving
no,
it's giving Tommy Shelby telling that one guy that Grace has the clap. The whore who has the clap, and I wasn't gonna say anything, but
when I was offering her up as a hero,
she has the
fucking classic. That's Shelby, Peaky Blinders first season. This is like fucking awesome shit.
I also love him and Grace. They're so cute.
Yeah, they are adorable.
Cute, anyway. But like also very toxic. But we love that.
Good TV. We are talking good TV. So what were your best parts?
Oh, I have two more. Okay. I have young Simon being awkward. He literally recites poetry with his arm out like he's like holding a book. He's not. He's looking like he's holding your skull.
Exactly.
And he's like ready to like give his to be or not to be speech.
Oh, yeah.
Alas, poor Yorick, I knew thee well. Like, but also extremely awkward. And he does not know what to do around a pretty girl. It is so funny. And then Claire. I like Claire being like, well, I don't want our family home to be, like, given to this dickhead, so I'm going to pretend to have a vision. It's like, it's just very funny. I like her thinking quick on her feet.
I do too. I love the Blackfish. I just love this actor. I think he's so great. I love Jamie in this, fucking with people. I think it's really fun. Yeah. Claire's good, but she also has this dumb scheme involving Larry and, you know, like, ugh. And she also tells, right at the end, she tells Jamie to go thank Larry, which fucking dumbass bullshit, Claire. You know, like, the fact that you're telling Jamie to talk to Larry at all gives Larry the wrong idea, because even at the end of that conversation, under her breath as he's walking away, she's like, and you're gonna love me, you know, like, so she's dumb. Just so obsessed. And you should know this, Claire, because if you don't, you're a dumbass, and she is obviously a dumbass. And young Simon, I do think he's like, we do like our socially awkward men, don't we?
We love them.
We do. I mean, he's a little more on the Mr. Collins end of dorky, though, which, you know, you kind of have to be like, yeah, I'm not sure. But he could be worse, and we've seen worse. So there we are. What were your worst parts?
Lord love it. Fuck that guy. And Larry. True. I hate her.
Yeah. Yeah, Lord love it.
Well, I so love that, like, she's just like, well, I've seen God now, so me telling you straight to your face after I've falsely accused you of being a witch, and then saying I'm going to dance on your ashes and then take your husband away from you. But I atoned for that. It's like, no. What are you talking about? And I'm all for a redemption arc. I am all for a redemption arc when it's earned.
And it's you're actually a fucking lot doing it
to get there. But no.
But no.
I hate you.
You are Leary and we hate you. Yeah. That's the bum. Yeah, the Blackfish column I don't like in this either. This like whole neutrality thing is fucking annoying.
Blame him for trying to save his ass, but also I kind of find it funny that he's completely kicked Dougal out of the deal of, like, yes, you don't get a say. You're just war chieftain.
You're just war chieftain when we're going to war, but so yeah, you don't get any say. And Leary with all caps and 4 exclamation points. I hate her so much, I can't express it. What grade did you give this episode?
C.
Yes, probably a C. I thought B, but
no,
it's not. It's a dumb episode.
I am not gonna lie. I zoned out so many times in this episode, so I'm glad that you got more out of it than I did.
Yeah, but
I was just not paying attention. I could not care less.
Yeah.
At this stage of the game, now that we've shifted gears back to let's really try, I'm just like, I can't get behind that.
Well,
there's this obvious sense of impending doom, but also, like, bringing Leary back. I don't care about that. Even if it involves, like, a socially awkward cute guy, it's like, okay, well, whatever,
he's
fine.
He's not that cute.
No, he's not cute, but, like, adorable?
No.
Awkward.
Awkward,
yeah. Anyway, I do not. Never mind. I'm not going to say that.
Poor dude.
Poor dude. But even if it adds a little bit of humor to it, I don't like Leary. You're not going to, like, gaslight me into trying to like Leary. And then at the end of the episode, they take everything back anyway. So it doesn't matter. So,
yeah.
It's Nelson Foley from The Simpsons.
100%.
I do not care less.
We still have much of season 2 to cover. Holy crap.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know. It's terrifying.
Well, we have 2 episodes technically left.
Oh, that's right. Here's the other thing about Outlander. It's like different numbers of episodes every season, and they're always too many.
So we are going to have another episode covering 4 episodes, and then we're going to cover the finale alone.
Whatever.
Which is just how the numbers have shaken out.
Yeah, it's just weird. But in
we might change our mind on that. We don't know.
We don't know because, you know, some of these just are not that compelling.
Yeah.
But we will be talking about them.
Yeah.
We hope that you join us. We hope that you are drinking some drinks. Mm-hmm. Drink some drinks. Have some Saint-Germain. There's a drink in this book called Murtaugh's Oath. And anytime Murtaugh's on screen, I'm thinking, we need to do that.
So all the time.
So frequently. And there are all these redhead drinks in there, and so we've got redheads coming, so there is a whole lot more of our buzzed and our binging and this show. So join us for Outlander. We hope that you do, and
cheers.